This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Lakers fans eagerly awaiting the return of Anthony Davis. Is he still the best big in basketball he was when last seen? By the end of this season, is he going to still be better than Jokic? He was in the playoffs last year. Better than Embiid? Oof. Game for game, who's been better than Embiid this year? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Better than the Freak? You know, the Freak's got a little more help this year in terms of guys who can perform under pressure. Jrue Holiday. AD still better than all those guys? Because on the low, we're having a golden era of bigs. They just don't look the way they used to. They don't play the way they used to. But I'll put Embiid and Jokic and AD and the Freak up against any four you want to bring. The Max Kellerman Show, as I mentioned, is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. LeBron James explained why he deleted the tweet on the police shooting of Makia Bryant. The since-deleted tweet, LeBron James showed a picture of Officer Nicholas Reardon, who's white, with an accompanying caption, all caps, "Your next, hashtag accountability." And LeBron was criticized for it because when the footage came out, it turns out that Nicholas Reardon, the cop who showed up on the scene, came onto a scene where the teenager whom he shot and killed was attacking another woman with a knife, girl or woman, it's unclear from the video, with a knife. He shouted, "Get down," she didn't, and he shot and killed her. LeBron took down the tweet and said that anger doesn't do anyone any good, including him, and he has to gather more facts. And then he explained why he's very upset and emotional about things. You know, look, this is happening against a backdrop where black people are being killed by the police, and it seems like interactions between law enforcement and African-Americans yield very different results than law enforcement interactions with white people. And a lot of people, especially black people recently, have been pointing out, look what happened with Dylan Roof. Someone on this show did earlier today. And look at this example and this example. This is a mass murderer. This is a person with a gun. This wouldn't have gone down this way had it been a... I'm not arguing against that. All I'd say is that wasn't Nicholas Reardon. Nicholas Reardon's a cop who showed up on the scene and was trying to protect a girl who was being attacked. I'm sure he didn't want to kill. I would hope he didn't want to kill the teenage girl who he shot. At any rate, LeBron's being attacked disingenuously or stupidly by politicians who are claiming that he's trying to incite violence. No, LeBron didn't tell anyone. He didn't say, "Hey, vigilante mob, direct your ire toward this cop." He didn't say attack, nothing like that. When he said "you're next," clearly you'd have to have extremely low comprehension not to understand that he's talking about the Derek Chauvin trial and verdict, where he was found guilty on all counts. He committed murder. It was on video. Everyone saw it. And people, other people, "Well, no, he's doxing the cop." No, he's not. Doxing is like if you have info that's not yet public and you make it public and you're trying. That's not what he did. What he's saying is he wants accountability. Now, is LeBron accountable? Does he hold himself to the same standards? I'd say yes, because when it was pointed out, actually what you're doing is irresponsible. You didn't have all the facts. He copped to it. He said, "Yep, right, I didn't have all the facts. I reacted out of emotion. I shouldn't have. I tell other people not to. I should also not." And he took down the tweet. He ain't perfect. What do you want him to do? I have been accused on this call, on this show, by a caller who said, I'm like LeBron James's PR department. I don't know. When LeBron James didn't defend Daryl Morey for essentially just tweeting freedom is good and repressive communist governments are bad. Essentially, that's what he tweeted. I got on LeBron. I said he sold out. I said there's a name for it when you want to protect $1 billion worth of business halfway across the world and you won't stand up for an American who speaks the truth. It's called selling out. I also admitted probably wouldn't take $1 billion of business for me to sell out. Like, everyone's got a sellout point, and his is a lot higher than mine, in fact. And yet, nevertheless, I called it what it was. You could YouTube that. So this idea that, oh, everyone's just taking care of LeBron. No. It's LeBron's behavior. He was accountable when he made a mistake. He said, "Yep, made a mistake, took it down." Now, I also defended Mark Davis, for tweeting, we can, now I, or something, I can breathe. Because don't forget, Eric Gardner, who was killed by police, I can't breathe, and they choked him out, and he died for selling loosies. In New York, that means like loose cigarettes. Anyway, Eric Gardner, people started wearing I can't breathe shirts. Black Lives Matter, I can't breathe. And then that was met with Blue Lives Matter. Of course, the idea with Black Lives Matter is Black Lives Matter parenthetically too. Black lives also matter because other lives seem to matter. Everyone knows Blue Lives Matter. Right? Like, is that really necessary? People think that cops' lives don't matter? The point is, so that's kind of obnoxious, actually, as a response to Black Lives Matter. But in addition to that, people started wearing I Can Breathe, like to troll people who are wearing I Can't Breathe t-shirts. Now, when that was brought to Mark Davis's attention, he was like, no. What I meant by, and then other people just said, hey, Mark Davis, don't try to co-opt the whatever, you know, the struggle or suddenly act as though you're, whatever it was, they thought it was tone deaf. No, and my point was this yesterday. Hold on. Mark Davis responded by saying, George Floyd's brother said something that I liked. He said, now he can breathe. And I thought, yes, I want to support that. So I tweeted that out from the team's account. I'm with that. And I'm not with this idea. Like when people talk about the woke mob, don't be the mob. Be woke. There's nothing wrong with being socially conscious, but don't be the mob that reacts reflexively without thinking. I agree. So I'm like, hold on, time out, everybody. This dude's trying to be an ally. You want to alienate him? You want to jump on him because he didn't do it just right? He's learning. He said, no, I had no idea about this other thing. I'm just reflecting George Floyd's brother. And George Floyd's brother came out and said, yeah, I support that. Now, what I'm not crazy about is Mark Davis decided I'm going to leave the tweet not only up but pinned while I gather more information. In other words, don't tell me what to do. LeBron, on the other hand, took it down and said, now I'm going to collect more information. I think that's the responsible way to handle a mistake. I ain't making apologies for LeBron. Let's be real about this. And if more good faith, I had a caller on this show a couple weeks ago where he felt I was being insulting. And I'm forgetting the issue already. But because the way he came at me was showed me he's a good faith actor. He thinks, wait a minute, I actually want to have a conversation and you're just kind of being insulting. About Baylor and Kim Mulkey is what Brendan's telling me. I already forgot, it's weeks ago. And I liked that. Yes, I am a good faith actor and all Americans of goodwill. Even if we disagree on things and we see things differently because we come from different backgrounds and experiences, if we have goodwill and we're willing to listen to each other, bet. But there are plenty of people who do not come as good faith actors. Don't waste your time with them. They're not worth it. Their intention is not to come to a better understanding. So you call this show, you disagree with me, you're acting in good faith, we can chop it up all day. And I am not someone who reacts reflexively to the news. All right, a lot to get into before we get to Jordan Schultz, who's coming up right now. So forget about before we get to Jordan Schultz, right now with Jordan Schultz. Is Jordan Schultz on the line, guys? All right, I'm going to take a call. Carter in Vermont, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, that game between the Suns and the Sixers last night was amazing. I think, personally, the Suns should be the favorites to win the West, and I agree with Charles Barkley that Chris Paul is an MVP candidate.
Candidate, yes, although Devin Booker's up there too. And Chris, listen, don't forget, Chris Paul is joining a team that went 8-0 before he got there. Last time we saw this team in action, they went 8-0. Mikal Bridges has become a real good player. They still have guys like Saric and Cam Johnson, and they got a really good team. I would not make them the favorites, but they're among the favorites. Time to Mike Jordan. Jordan Schultz, ESPN NFL and NBA analyst. Going to mic him up. See that? Mike Jordan, what a clever name. Just pat myself on the back. Jordan, you there?
What's up, big man?
Jordan, that Embiid shot last night. The fact that he kind of shot them back into it, like he had a monster game, but late hit a shot that brought them within spitting distance. and then heaves a full court shot that doesn't just go in and out, goes in, down and out. That's the greatest miss I've ever seen. Where does that rank among the all-time misses you've seen?
100%, I think the Larry Bird in the corner in the playoffs in this one. Because this one was so ridiculous. In one motion, he grabs the ball, launches it, I don't know how many feet, way, absolutely ridiculous that he could even get it there. The guy is just an absolute freak of nature. I was fired up. I watched it 100 times. I still think it's going in.
Yeah, and, you know, by the way, it was a really good game. You're right. Like, heading into the game, you think that the Sixers are so shorthanded, they're going to, you know, it's going to be a problem. Thibel's defense on Devin Booker was extraordinary. The block he had was awesome, but Booker's almost unstoppable. But until late in that game, I mean, eventually he's going to get his. Thibel did a magnificent job. I mean, that's the Sixers without Tobias Harris or Ben Simmons.
100%. And I think with Philadelphia, last night was the best version of Philly you're going to get. Obviously, they didn't have some of their horses, but specifically, as you said, the defensive battle, they really bothered Phoenix in the half court. It was the turnovers. Phoenix had 17 points or 17 turnovers. Phoenix bothered Philly from a turnover standpoint, 17 turnovers, 24 points. Philadelphia bothered them with their length. And I thought Thibel really showed why he's one of the top three or four young perimeter defenders in the league. Because when you're going up against Devin, you have to be so careful throughout the entire shot clock. Because even if he doesn't have the ball, they're often similarly to Golden State with Steph. Everything is predicated off of Devin and his movement. So Chris Paul is always looking to find him. And I thought they did a good job. I thought Philadelphia showed a lot of heart last night. They showed grit. I'm still not ready to say, okay, this team is a contender to beat Brooklyn. But to be in that game against arguably the second-best team in the West without some of your best players says a lot.
Meantime, talking to Jordan Schultz here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Jordan Schultz, ESPN NFL and NBA analyst. Meantime, I look at the Suns roster, the 8-0 Suns from the bubble, the Suns that are going to head into these playoffs as among the favorites. And I think, all right, the backcourt's all set. You really can't do better than that. You have guys, I mentioned like Bridges, who are legit 3-and-D players. Like, just because you are 3-and-D-ish doesn't mean you do it at a high level. He does it at a very high level. Cam Johnson, I mentioned Saric. DeAndre Ayton, what is this team missing? Like, I'm not picking them to win the whole thing this year or even to get out of the West if the Lakers or the Clippers are healthy. But I think they're right there with Utah. But what are they missing? Like, what more does this team need?
What they're missing is a defensive big who can consistently switch in guard, pick, and roll. And as much as I think Ayton is potentially going to be that guy, he's not even close to that point yet. And I think Phoenix, from a defensive standpoint, you know, they're very good. They've been in the top five all league. But when you're talking about switching on to a guy like Donovan Mitchell or LeBron or, you know, C.J. McCollum or Dame, guys that they're going to see in the playoffs, I didn't mention Murray because of the injury, that's who Ayton struggles with. And when that happens, Phoenix is forced to go small. And as you said, they'll play Cam Johnson at the
five.
So who
would that be?
Or they'll play.
Who would that be, Jordan? Huh? Like when you survey the league, who do you have in mind that would fulfill that role, for example?
Well, Embiid's been able to do it this year. Yeah. Against a lot of guys, Gobert can do it.
AD.
You know, Capella can do it sometimes. Ayton just laterally isn't there. The guy that does it the best is Bam. Bam Adebayo does it better than anybody.
And Anthony Davis. Jordan, Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis does it great, yeah. The Jaren Jackson when he's healthy. The bigs that are really laterally sound and are more fluid. Ayton just isn't there yet. He's super young. You know, he didn't have to do it at Arizona. It's just not something he's done.
Is he going to get there?
He's gotten – what did you say?
Is he going to get there? What's your guess?
I think he will because of the talent, and he's got great length, so he never has to be great at it. He just has to be adequate and serviceable, or then he can recover, which he does already, and then get to the rim and finish, or eliminate finishes with his long arms. But he's just not – he's so far away. So what happens is you'll see, like, Mitchell will get switched on Ayton, and then instead of attacking, he'll back out, he'll let the court space, and then he'll just go right at him. And it's really either a bucket or a foul.
No, he's so very young, as you mentioned. You know, he's very young, as you mentioned. And, you know, 1 year with Chris Paul is not going to fix everything that ails him. But That's a hell of a team. Meantime, AD is coming back, and you mentioned moving laterally. AD does everything, a hybrid 4-5 or a stretch who can also defend the rim type player and do everything, the 7-footer or near 7-footer that you want in a player. What are you looking from him tonight?
I want to see Anthony Davis just, like you said, be fluid. You know, it's not like I don't think he'll shoot the ball really well. I don't think he'll be, I think he'll be on a minute restriction. But I want to see him be fluid to the point where he's not laboring and that he's able to move laterally and that he's able to push off that Achilles. Because what happens is when you're a big man, as we've talked about, that Achilles ends up absorbing so much more weight than if you're a 200-pound guard. So I want to see Davis move fluidly and relatively pain-free. I mean, the Lakers defensively have really struggled, Max. They've been plummeting. Number one in offense, but number 20 in defense. So I want to see them really push that. And I want to see Davis really, you know, accept the challenge of I'm back and I need to be, you know, reckoned with, because he's missed a lot of time.
If Anthony Davis becomes or comes back as the best version of himself, like AD is back, when we last saw him, Jordan Schultz, he was the best big in the game. But Embiid on a per-game basis has been the best player in basketball. Jokic, because he's played a full season, is probably the MVP. Giannis is as good as he's ever been, and maybe now with Drew Holiday taking some pressure shots in the playoffs can get farther in the playoffs. Is the best version of AD still the best big in basketball?
Great question. I think yes, because what we saw in the finals and in the playoffs, Max, remember how dominant he was? Didn't it feel like this guy doesn't miss? I mean, he was unstoppable. He shot 60% basically for the playoffs from the mid-range, and he was unstoppable in from a defensive standpoint. So I think the answer is yes, but Embiid has closed the gap, and Jokic has. You mentioned Jokic. I think he has to be the MVP. He basically, his first game back after Murray, he goes for triple-double. He had 47 against Memphis. He's been unbelievable. But I think Davis, at his best, Max, still is. And I misspoke. Defensive efficiency, Lakers are first. Offensive, 20th. So what you need from Davis, you need Davis to be 90% or better. Because if he's not, that offensive efficiency is going to continue to struggle. And that's what I want to see.
Yeah. Listen, I would say that right on about Anthony Davis, and it's just not just the offense. Like, Jokic is the best offensive center, because his passing is ridiculous. I mean, I was comparing him to Steph Curry, saying Jokic is actually a better passer than Steph Curry. He's a better passer, right? But defensively, AD is one of the greatest ever defensively and offensively. Jokic may be better offensively, but can't compare with defense. Embiid is a two-way player, but let's see him hold up throughout the entire season and the playoffs. And And Giannis, you know, we still have to see him succeed in the playoffs to the level we're expecting. Real quick, before I let you go, are the Niners not sure about who they're taking with the third pick? Or is this just us keep getting the media and Vegas new information, and so we are changing our minds? Are the Niners undecided, or do they know?
No, I think it's going to be Mac Jones. I don't know why they would have a smokescreen when they have the control. Because nobody's going to take Jones 1 or 2. Nobody's going to take Fields 1 or 2. So I think it's the media making it this big fuss. Oh, they were at the Justin Fields pro day, number 2. He threw the ball well. Shanahan was laughing with him. All of a sudden, it's Justin Fields. I think it's Mac Jones, and I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
You can catch him, ESPN NBA insider analyst Jordan Schultz. He put that graphic back up there on ESPN Plus. I'm reading it right off the graphic. I'm promoting all of Jordan's stuff, the draft room. What else, Jordan? What else you got going on? The contributor on the Daily Wager,
the
boardroom. Yeah. I said the draft room. I meant the boardroom on ESPN Plus. Contributor on Daily Wager. You can hear him here on the Max Kellerman Show. Jordan, thanks as always for joining me.
Thanks, Max. Okay, buddy. Bye.
And that was Mike Jordan. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline, Jordan Schultz. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Floyd's getting in the ring again. This weekend's UFC 261 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, Fantasy MMA is easy to play. It's easy to play, Raj. Let's get to the next screen, Raj. It's easy to play. Why? Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about the basketball and hockey stuff you can do on DraftKings. Even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code MAX to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Floyd putting the gloves back on.
Coming up tomorrow morning with Greeny, Ohio State head football coach Ryan Day, as our coverage of the NFL draft continues. Ryan Day with Greeny, tomorrow morning at 11:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather, the fight is scheduled for June 5th. According to The Athletic's Mike Coppinger, also friend of Max on Boxing on ESPN2, 5 p.m. weekdays. 5 p.m. Eastern weekdays on ESPN2. Mayweather will not be allowed to weigh more than 160 pounds. Logan Paul will not be allowed to weigh more than 190 pounds. So Logan Paul should have a 30-pound weight advantage and a lot of youth on his side against Floyd. But, of course, oceans of talent, skill, and experience away. It doesn't seem to me that Floyd will have to work very hard to beat Logan Paul in a boxing match. At Floyd's level, even given his age, inactivity, and size, Floyd's a boxing genius and who's, you know, among the most experienced fighters ever, amateur and pro. And, you know, Logan Paul is not. By the way, going to have Jake Paul on Max on Boxing tomorrow. That's Friday, tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. At any rate, Floyd posted on Instagram that Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Miami, Dallas, and Atlanta were the finalists to stage the fight. Mike Coppinger noted that if the fight does take place on June 5th, it will be in direct competition with a fight between Teofimo Lopez, undisputed lightweight champion, and George Kambosos, mandatory challenger. Now, Lopez, if you recall, was fighting on ESPN, Top Rank fighter, couldn't come to terms with Top Rank on what he'd be paid for the title defense. So it went to purse bids, and the winning bid was a Triller, you know, Snoop's venture, that put on Roy Jones, Mike Tyson, which is a big financial bonanza. And it's now going to have to compete against Floyd Mayweather. Look, Teofimo Lopez against George Kambosos is a real top-flight prize fight. And yet it probably won't do the business that Floyd and Logan Paul will. Logan Paul's an internet sensation, YouTube sensation. And Floyd Mayweather is one of the best pound-for-pound fighters who ever lived. And because of the size advantage and the youth advantage, I think people will be interested in knowing the outcome, even though I can tell you the outcome now is Floyd Mayweather is going to win the fight. But Lopez and Kambosos, you know, we understand the world through storytelling. Even if you learn some scientific model, you know, people use metaphors and they tell stories about things. That's how we process information. And stories are only as interesting as the characters are interesting. You need interesting characters that you're emotionally invested in. And then you need the obstacles to be big and make you wonder, can they overcome the obstacle, right? Well, people are just getting to know Teofimo Lopez, and they largely don't know George Kambosos. And Teofimo Lopez is a big favorite in the fight, although I think it's a good fight. So what's the interest there going to be compared to Floyd Mayweather, who everyone knows and is invested in? And when the obstacle is a young guy, even and also very well known for, through YouTube, but a bigger, younger fighter. I would tell you that Kambosos is a bigger obstacle for Teofimo Lopez than Logan Paul will be for Floyd Mayweather. Nevertheless, we saw Floyd against Conor McGregor, where Floyd clearly showed up, not in shape, not in, like, you know, fighting shape, and just kind of, you know, walked McGregor down until McGregor tired himself out and then stopped him. Is he going to try the same thing against Logan Paul? Does he look at Logan Paul like McGregor and think, I don't have to train hard for these guys? Yeah, probably, right? But Floyd also ain't trying to lose. By the way, real boxing fans are going, Max, stop. You know, he's got no shot against Floyd. Yes, I do know that, but not everyone does. Joseph in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hey, Max. Love the show. I try to listen every day. I'm a delivery driver here in Texas, so I probably look crazy riding around yelling at you, arguing all day from 1 to 3. So the guy earlier talking about you're the PR guy for LeBron. I don't think it's a PR, but I get kind of where what he's coming from with it. You talked about how you called out LeBron for the China incident with Daryl Morey, but in the same breath will say, well, I have, you know, I have a number that I, you know, sell out for too. I mean, that's
But that it is, because I have to be honest. Like, in other words, if I call someone out, what if LeBron comes back at me? Like, what are you talking about? You did this at some point in your career or whatever. Like, I'm not, in other words, I'm contextualizing. Like, let me ask you this, Joseph, right? I called it a sellout, what he did with China, right? But, it, you know, he sold out for a very high number, but it was a sellout. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a big number.
All right, let me ask you something. What would your sellout number be to not back Daryl Morey for tweeting, you know, essentially freedom is good and repressive communist governments are bad? Would your sellout number be a billion? I would venture to guess it'd be much lower. In other words, like, LeBron is guilty of, in that situation, selling out because he has business interests, right? LeBron is guilty in this situation of tweeting before he thought. But you have to contextualize, you know, what he's guilty of. By the way, just as I did for Mark Davis, I didn't castigate Mark Davis. You know, just as we, you know, if we handle some, if some issue comes up and someone makes a mistake, but it's not such an awful mistake, it's just a mistake, I disagree. I think that's selling out. I think that's not staying true to your convictions. I think that, I'll contextualize it and call it out. But I, Joseph, hear what you're saying. In other words, people are not looking for nuance. They're looking for up, down, right, left, good, bad, right? And so when you say bad LeBron, if you also hear, but also kind of good LeBron, it's like, no, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a definitive black and white, up and down, left and right. That's not the way I think. Baseball's back, so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/baseball. Living the dream. How would you like to get paid six figures and not show up to work? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? It was a tremendous show. Tremendous. In fact, I think it was world-altering. It's going to change the world, this show. But you must download the podcast, because if you missed any of it, you can hear the whole thing, both hours of the show, posted as a daily podcast. Mostly it's me doing reads and then quickly saying something. No, wouldn't you say, Raj, I mean, being conservative about it, the greatest 2 hours of entertainment in the history of the universe?
Yeah, I can't think of another 2 hours that's greater than this. In fact, I'm already sending it to the Radio Hall of Fame.
MTV. Yeah, I don't want to overstate anything, but it seems to me that that's probably a conservative estimate. Living the dream, an Italian man figured out how to do that for 15 years without getting caught. He was paid just under $650,000 throughout the years. He's now under investigation for fraud, extortion, and abuse of office. So this is what happened. The man was employed as a civil servant by Chiaccio Hospital in Catanzaro, Italy, since 2005. As a civil servant, he was assigned to work at the hospital. So if he, it wasn't as if there was someone like, you know, there checking on him at all the time, at all times at the hospital. You know, there was no one there like, hey, where's that guy we just hired? He just stopped showing up suddenly 15 years ago. So he got away with it, 650 Gs. And now he's being sued. I don't know. You can't just not show up for work. But on the other hand, if he's not like fraudulently punching a clock, right? If he's not like doing anything fraudulent and they're just sending him the checks, I mean, why wouldn't he just deposit it in his account? Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
You know, Max, I hope you all getting some money if you're being his PR. You know, I work for football.
Yeah. You mean LeBron? Someone accused me of doing LeBron's PR. Ridiculous. But I do understand what they mean, Mitch. What they're saying is like, we want to hear bad LeBron from you, and you qualify it. Well, I mean, I qualify a lot of things. I don't see things as black and white, up and down, left and right. I think it's nuanced. So, I don't know what to say.
I love LeBron. I think he's the second best of the world, but I think he just pops up with – he has to comment on everything, single thing. Let the countries – a few bad apples and let these countries not deal with China, but it's the money. Sad.
Well, I mean, look,
show.
Look, when Daryl Morey – I could just tell you, in the media there was pressure to say bad Daryl Morey, right? People – you're supposed to say bad Daryl Morey. I did not feel that way. I didn't feel like bad. Hold on. The timing wasn't great. Our guys were over in China. Maybe wait till they get back. But and you know why you have to wait till you get back? Because you can't trust a repressive communist government. That's why. So, like, you think, oh, they could be in danger. You know, they don't respect human rights, right? That's why Daryl Morey tweeted it in the first place. But the timing could have been better. At any rate, I didn't say bad Daryl Morey at all. I did say the timing could have been better, but I said, hey, basically, he's saying freedom is good and communist governments are bad. Yeah, man, right on. And LeBron, like, basically saying bad Daryl Morey and not supporting him, I thought was selling out. And the reason I thought it was selling out is because you got man's protecting $1 billion worth of business in China. So don't act like no matter what the news is, I respond favorably toward LeBron. But most of the time I do because LeBron's basically a righteous dude and he's done a lot of good. No one's perfect. Everyone will be criticized at times for their behavior. Everybody. But if someone's behavior overwhelmingly says good things about them, then you're predisposed to give them the benefit of the doubt and to look for reasons why maybe they behaved the way they did. Roland in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, I want to end the show on a brighter note. You know, I want to talk about one of your exes. We'll call her New York Nikki.
Okay.
Yeah. So you left her behind. She was kind of doing you dirty.
Started doing squats and stuff.
Now she's looking good out here. Yeah. Are you thinking that you're going to slide in New York Nikki's DMs again, or are you staying with Lala?
I am not going anywhere near New York Nikki. Until James Dolan sells the team. James Dolan sells the team, we can talk. Until then, I'm a Lakers fan. I'm going to be a Lakers fan anyway. Lakers fan, and as far as I have a rooting interest in New York basketball, it is going to be the Brooklyn Nets. It is the Brooklyn Nets. Kim in Memphis, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max.
Hi, Kim.
Okay, so my question is this. With this Logan Paul guy, when is it irresponsible for the Boxing Association to allow these amateur internet sensation phenoms to go up against someone like a Floyd Mayweather? I mean,
okay, this is a good question, Kim. Kim is a good question. There is no Boxing Association. Like, really, boxing is very decentralized. So you're talking about state athletic commissions. And while some of them are more rigorous, some of them are less rigorous. So you'll always find a place to stage a fight. And by the way, consenting adults should be able to do what they want to each other. And if you point a camera toward it and people are willing to pay for it, I support it. I support the right to do that. Now, in terms of sanctioning a fight safely, Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather, Might he get hurt? Well, I mean, in boxing, in combat sports, that's the name of the game, to hurt. That's the truth. And Logan Paul, because of his size and his youth, and because I don't anticipate Floyd will take him very seriously, might hang around for a while. I find it highly unlikely that he could win. Floyd will likely beat him up, but he'll put on a show first. So Kim, when you say someone's going to get hurt, like what, get knocked out? That's what happens. That's the point. That's why people are paying. They want to see someone get knocked out. But I hear what you're saying. What Kim in Memphis is saying is, let's see fights that aren't such mismatches. Yeah. Mismatches are part of the game, but it would be nice to see fewer of them. And this is really more of a show than a match. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Shanae and Golic Jr. up next. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.